Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
.305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. No complaints about how it sounds. Why? Because Jeremy, God bless him, has fixed whatever was broken yesterday. Jeremy, you're an amazing man. An amazing human being. And I appreciate it. All right, now let's move on before you get too big-headed and all that other difficult stuff. This officially, I know this because I got an email from my supervisor that says Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show is actually happening during this first hour. It's true. So, you know, tonight, it's not, by the way, I don't know, somebody's going to have to break the news to Dana. It's going to be a little disappointed and upset. It's not Pints and Politics. And I understand the confusion and the frustration, because if it were me, I absolutely would start with the Pints part. I would. There's enough of the nonsense out there that will drive you to drink excessively. But somehow, we're going to have to break it through. It's Politics and Pints. Politics takes the front of the stage. And yes, this is actually, technically speaking, part of our pregame show, if you will. A little bit later, you've got John Reed and Gary Hess. Oh, they got burdened with Gutman. Oh, I'm sorry,
good
guys.
Good grief.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy. Don't let me forget, Jeremy. I got to bring an extra box of Kleenex for Howard, because he started whining and crying like 8, 10, 12 days ago.
Come on, man.
Well, he did. It's just, he made a mess. It's a puddle. You could slip. You could, Well, anyway, but you know, he's got hairy legs, which is nice. It's,
Got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
That's because they couldn't afford ice cream, Mr. President. That's what it was. It's like, well, all right, I would really like one of those fudgy wudgy pops. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have the money for that. All right, we'll go over and rub the old geezer's legs and watch his hair. And what do you mean I have to reach into the pool? He's sitting in a chair. I got it. Everybody's got a nickname. All right, listen. I want to remind you tonight, Beacon Theater, Hopewell, the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell, it is indeed Politics and Pints. This special little pregame show, which is going to go on for quite a while, brought to us by James River Air. Fantastic. I feel cooler already. I really do. I really, really do. It's going to be neat, by the way, to be down there at the historic Beacon Theater. Why? Because I've shared this with you. It's the third time we're doing it there. As you know, nobody actually tells me anything, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say we're probably not going to be there again for a while, because the whole idea of this little roadshow was to pack it up and move it around Central Virginia. And we've had some great locations, and Hopewell, the Beacon Theater, boy, it has been great. There's no taking that away from it. It's a beautiful theater. The people there just could not possibly be nicer. But I am pulling, just so you know, I'm pulling for Midlothian. I think there are a lot of people who are pulling for Midlo. And even though I'm going to have to drive, you know, I personally, hey, we do it in Ashland, we do it in Hanover, it'd be great. I say we do it at Jake's place, we take turns, we're going to do 1,000 people. So we get like 100 people at a time. They come in, they go out, but I think Midlothian absolutely deserves to have us there. Did you hear the little snippet about, what's her name, Kamala Harris, her top-level staffer, whoever that dude is, saying, oh, well, you know, we had always intended to go on Fox News. Yeah, sure you did. Okay. I live on planet Earth, as you know, and I deal in reality. There are times when I think, If only I could maybe blur my sense of reality, and then I realize, oh yeah, 6 o'clock, it's happy hour. But there are moments I think, if only I didn't have to deal in reality, then I would be a lot happier. You would be a lot happier if you did not see this freight train bearing down on our nation. You would be so much happier. And since I deal in reality, I can tell you, there was never, ever any goal set by the Kamala Harris campaign that said, oh, we have to be on Fox News. Not a chance. Not a chance. Here's what's happening behind the scenes, and it's not all that complicated. Her campaign has cratered. Her campaign is doing exactly what her other campaign has done in the past. When she sort of kind of was running for the Democrat Party nomination like 4 years ago. Remember that? 5 years ago? Where she came out of the gates. Man, look at me. Kamala Harris. Woohoo. Yay, we're going to nominate a... She's going to be a woman. She is a woman. Yes, yes. And she's a black woman. And she's an Indian woman. And she's got... Hey, she seems like a nice lady. You know what? Middle class background, man. This is going to cook. This is going to be great. And then she opened her mouth. And all those people with all that enthusiasm said, now you got to pack everything up. Seriously. I mean, she's a dud. She's like six types of dud. It's over. So they packed it all up. And you remember she dropped out before a primary, before a caucus, before a, I don't know, coffee clatch anywhere. It was done. That's how this campaign's going for her. I'm happy about that. Please. I don't wish her any ill. Well, actually, I do. I do wish her some ill will. But I mean, nothing like hurtful. I just want her to go away. And I heard yesterday, I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody said, oh, you know, once she loses this, that's it. She's done. Well, I got bad news for you. I've shared with you that my oldest child, graduate of Stanford University. I work that into every conversation in hopes that someday the best CPA in all of Central Virginia, my buddy Bolly Jarrett, will figure out a way to take Harry's tuition off my taxes if I just mention it on the air enough or wear enough Stanford swag. We'll see if that happens. But he now works, and I'm not allowed to say where he works or what he does, but he's working really, really, really at a high level in the state of California for what I consider to be the opposition. And he has told me, said, hey, I don't know how to tell you this. Win or lose, she's not going away. I said, oh, come on, Harry, you can't be happy with her. He said, well, yeah, I'm not saying I'm happy, but, you know, she'd be better than your guy. Okay, well, I like my guy. I really do. I've come to so like my guy. I have come to a point where I just really like my guy. I think he's a good guy. And I think he's running for the right reasons. He's egotistical. Of course he is. How could you not have an ego and say you're going to run for president of the United States? It is an absolute metaphysical impossibility to run for the presidency of the United States without having an ego that is out of bounds. But he's got the right things on the board. The right reasons are driving him. And that's why I like my guy. But what Harry has said is the ground game for the Kamala Harris for governor campaign in California is well underway. Bad news, I know, if you think you're going to be done with her. You and I don't live in California, so maybe not really an issue for us. But I do want you to be aware of that. She's not necessarily going away. She's lived her entire professional life feeding from the public payroll. So she's not about to go and get a job in the dreaded private sector anytime soon. Right? I mean, she doesn't even know how to do that. Has she ever had a private sector job? Well, if you believe her nonsense about McDonald's, the answer is yes. If you don't believe that, then the answer is no. And for the records, hold the lettuce and the pickle, because I don't believe it for a second. I think it was just another part of her fanciful tale. It's a little bit like her new book. Did you hear she has a new book coming out? It's called The Art of the Deal. And don't accuse her of plagiarism. It's all about how a young woman from a middle-class background becomes a multi-billion dollar property developer in Manhattan, and along the way has a hit television show and learns how to make deals with everybody. Again, her new book called The Art of the Deal. You are part, whether you realize it or not, of Politics and Pints, the election edition pre-show. It's actually pretty cool because down at the Beacon Theater, we've got a bunch of the guys already in place. John Reed, I think, slept there. So that's pretty cool. Gary Hess will be sleeping there this evening on his way back. Jerm, you're going to have to lay in a call to Hopewell to see if Gutman really is there, because I'm willing to bet he's not. I am just willing to bet that he's not. And Hugh Joyce from James River Air, who is actually responsible for bringing the whole doggone thing, this little program for the next couple of hours to you. James River Air, pretty cool. It's all going to be live from the Beacon Theater. And I am so excited this evening. There's some great people I'm going to see, haven't seen in a while. My dear friends, Dr. Brian Snyder, his lovely bride Janine, you know, they're the big sponsor of Politics and Pints, as always. Chronic Care of Richmond, Chronic Care of Richmond. Now, about 20 minutes from now, a buddy of mine, Luke Scott, is going to be along. You and I have been concerned with how we can help. How we can help. I'm not laughing about how we can help, believe me. But how we can help people who have been impacted by Helene, by Milton, etc. And Luke Scott, God bless him, he's one of the best guys that I know. I really mean that, like the salt of the earth. He's put together another relief effort, and we're going to chat with him at 3:35. Again, you are part of Politics and Pints, the election edition pre-show. It's all brought to us by James River Air. We've got John Reed and Gary Hess and Hugh Joyce who are going to be taking over live from the Beacon Theater at 4 o'clock. Why? Well, because I'm not Kazoo from the Flintstones. I can't just snap my fingers and be somewhere. So I will wrap up my little thing here at 4, jump in the shower, brush my teeth, do, you know, whatever else I got to do, maybe have a big mug of coffee, and then I will be there. Well, I do. I'm not Kazoo from the Flintstones. I just have those delicate feet like Fred Flintstone. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine.
I don't know about a fancy body. I mean, it's all right. I got a few miles on it, but fancy not so much. Did you ever realize that the good Mr. Rogers there just, he knew everything. He did. He knew everything, and he made it so clear. Well, you were born a boy? You're always going to be a boy. Thank you for asking. Now get on the little trolley. You were born a girl? Yep. You are going to be a girl forever. Now get on the little trolley. You do realize if somebody pitched the idea of the Mr. Rogers show today, it would never hit the airwaves. It wouldn't be anywhere. You couldn't find it anywhere. Not a chance. If it were on today and he did something like that, they'd cancel it. They'd cancel it because now, as we all know, whatever you decide you are today, you are. I saw a video the other day. Somebody shopping. And I don't know if it's legit or not, but it sure looked legit. A mother, a daughter, and a dog. I don't know if the dog was a boy or a girl, but it was clearly a human being with a dog head and a tail and furry fake paws and the whole bit. And it was in a Walmart parking lot. Was it a shtick? God, I wish it. I'm hoping that it was. You know what's terrible is that I don't think it was. I think we got a whole generation of parents right now who really do believe, oh, I'm just going to let my kids do whatever they want. I'm going to be buddies with them. That's where my generation failed. Oh, we're going to be friends with our children. Nah, you're an idiot then. Because your kids don't need any more friends. Your kids have got friends. Your kids need to make friends who are like them. They don't need you as a friend. They need a mother. They need a father. Ideally, they need a mother and a father. Best combination ever. It's incredible what you're able to accomplish with that. Note here, by the way, on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, how about the Perkinson Center in Midlothian? That would be my suggestion. And in RVA, could we maybe have the next Politics and Pints at the Perk? Well, and here's what I can tell you. I have suggested that, and my suggestion, of course, has been ignored promptly, as they all are, but yours hopefully will get some traction. I think that would be perfect. Because Midlothian is absolutely due for a real Politics and Pints event. They really are. We've had so many people from Chesterfield who have driven now for the Beacon Theater, but it would be great to do it in Midlo, and I just think that would be the way to go. So there you go. I'm online on the record as officially endorsing the Perk. And did we ever decide, is this the 9th edition or the 8th edition? We can't make up our minds. Are people, it's like the whole camp is split. That it's the 8th iteration of Politics and Pints. And other folks are saying it's actually the 9th iteration. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But it's something like that. It's been a lot, and it's been a good time, and I've been at all of them, and there you have it. I do want to remind you that these 3 hours leading up to Politics and Pints, it's the Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show, all brought to you by James River Air. We've got John Reed and Gary Hess and Howard Gutman and Hugh Joyce. Live from the Beacon Theater, that's going to be as soon as I depart, exit stage left, so that I can get down to the Beacon Theater. It is 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Three 35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I want to remind you, it's like the countdown to Politics and Pints. It all kicks off at 6-ish or so at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. But we've got our version of a pregame show for this special Politics and Pints election edition. Now, I am going to exit in 24 minutes. And no, I'm not counting. Well, I'm counting a little bit, but I'm going to exit in 24 minutes. Take a shower, have some coffee, get shaved and put together and get dressed up and come on down to Hopewell so the festivities can really get underway. And I got to tell you, I'm thanking my buddy John Reed and Gary Hess for hanging out for a couple of hours to cover my stuff. Thanks to Hugh Joyce from James River Air. He's actually sponsoring the entire pre-game show. That is pretty cool. So thank you, Hugh. And I think Hugh's going to join those guys throughout the afternoon as well. We got a lot of stuff we're talking about, and I know it's a brief time today, but I want to shine a spotlight on somebody who, number one, is just one of the greatest guys that I knew. Really just, honest to goodness, a decent human being who does some great things in the community. And he looked at some of the damage that's been done, Hurricane Helene in particular, and he said, I got to do something. And when Luke Scott says he's got to do something, you know what happens? Something gets done. And I'm happy to say Luke is joining us. Luke, thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great to talk to you. It's always nice to have a friend with a voice as loud as yours. And I think that
your listeners are probably the best people in Central Virginia. So I'm honored to be able to bend their ear for a few minutes.
Well, that is very kind. So tell us, what is it that's going on? What do you got underway? And of course, the payoff from all of us is, how do we help?
Okay. So, I'll try to summarize how this got going briefly. A week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I got tired of looking at the destruction from the hurricane down there in North Carolina. And I said, I've got to do something. I can't just sit here and look at the news anymore because, there are neighbors and I just felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So I tried to get on with some volunteer organizations. Everybody said, we've got all the volunteers we needed. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to let that be an excuse. I'm going to pack up and go down there and find something.
Wow.
So, we were very blessed. The people in the community that heard I was going, they packed a trailer for me. And so what started out as me and my pickup truck turned into me and one of my employees wanted to go. And then I loaded up a huge trailer and we carried stuff down there, connected with an awesome church camp that had needs for people to do the work. And so we were down there helping them. We were delivering stuff to people. This camp just had a ton of resources. It was great. We were able to provide things to so many people. So long story short, after being down there, I said, you know what? I'm asking around and looking around and there's plenty of water. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of blankets. The problem is going to be heat.
Okay.
People just have nowhere to go to get warm, and the makeshift houses and tents and things that they're living in are going to get cold. They're already cold. It was below 40 degrees every morning down there. Oh. So I said, well, I think we may be able to solve that. So I am not a professional and as far as putting things like this together, but I'm pretty tenacious. So I came up with a tagline. We're calling it Heat the Holler. Anyone that's been in that part of the country knows what a holler is.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get, my goal is 100 propane tanks, 20 to 30 pound size, the kind you would have for your outdoor grill or for your RV.
Okay.
And then heaters that will attach to those. So there's a ton of different heaters that you can buy. They just need to have the fitting to attach to that tank. So 100 heaters, 200 tanks, that's right. Going to be heat for a while, and we can fit it in a few trucks going down there. So that's what we're trying to do. I need all the help I can get because that's, that's $25,000 to $30,000 worth of stuff.
Okay.
And so.
So let's take a deep breath. All right. So let's. It's heat for the holler. I love that, by the way. Absolutely, positively brilliant. Brilliant positioning on that. I like that. You got a check mark for me on that. Now, we got to get the stuff. So, and you already figured out how to get it there, right? You've got the trucks, you've got trailers, you got the people to drive. All right. So you just need this stuff. So we're going to need, or you're going to need, some sort of a drop off location, right? Where should people bring this?
Okay, so for a lot of your listeners, Ashland is a really central area. Ferreira Equipment, they're on Route 1 in the old Sheehy Ford building across from Napa. It's a big, beautiful black building with orange trim. A dear friend of mine owns that place. They are going to be receiving things, so just go there during business hours. The fellows up front at the desk will take what you've got, and they will put it in storage. Out here, closer towards my shop in Providence Forge, we're going to be receiving stuff at my shop. So the easiest thing, I know people are probably driving, they can't write stuff down, but you can Google Ferreira Equipment, F-E-R-R-A-R-A.
Okay.
Or you can Google LG Scott Landscaping. Both of those searches will probably be at the top of the page.
All right.
And you can drop off at my shop 24 hours a day. There's a designated fenced-in area right out front with cones. You can't miss it.
Okay.
And at Ferreira, just go there during business hours, and they'll help you.
Okay. All right. Now, is there a cutoff, Luke? I mean, do you need everything by yesterday, next week, Sunday?
We are going down on the 12th of November. We will take stuff until the end of the day on the 11th, and we'll load up that night and head down early in the morning on the 12th.
Okay.
If you search me on Facebook, you'll see a post with that. That we also have a Venmo, because I know carrying propane tanks around and going and buying heaters is difficult for people. Luke Scott, you'll see a picture of me my beautiful wife and my daughter. You can't miss it.
They can't miss it because you're like the thorn between two roses. Let's be honest here, Luke. You know,
you're absolutely right.
They're making you look better, man.
I outkicked my coverage for sure.
Yes, you did. All right, so here's what I'm going to do on my end. I am going to get all of this stuff shared on my social media. Now, it's going to be tomorrow because I got to head out of here to go down to Politics and Pints. I'm hoping you understand that, but I will...
Oh, yeah.
I will get all of this stuff shared on my social media. Jeremy is going to get all of the nitty gritty details from you. So I spell everything right. I tell everybody where to go properly, and you know, we'll make it work. You know, I am in awe every year when you take points on that whole Christmas parade out there in Providence Forge, and I love that. But
that will be our next conversation soon.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I do have to remind you for me, it's a package deal. I mean, if in fact you want me to be part of the parade, and I'm always happy to be there, whether it's Grand Marshal, not so Grand Marshal, used to be Grand Marshal, I don't really care what the title is, as you know, but it's a package deal. If I do it, then Emily Morrissey has to ride with
me. Emily's going to be there.
All right. Then that's
absolutely. And give me 10 seconds to say something. A lot of people are concerned about dropping things off because there's all kinds of things on social media. Places aren't accepting things. We have a church and a distribution center set up in Banner Elk, North Carolina. So this stuff is expected and needed and will not be turned away. Don't worry about the social media stuff you're reading and the rumors. Perfect. This stuff will have a home.
All right. Well, listen, you are as I said, you're a wonderful guy. You really are. You're just the salt of the earth. I'm not surprised that you're putting this together, and I will do everything that I can to help out tomorrow. I'll make sure that all this stuff is up on my social media. We'll mention it, and I think we could do this. I really do. I think it's going to be okay.
I appreciate all your help, Jeff, and thank you to your listeners, because I know that y'all are gonna help us out with this.
No doubt. Thank you, my friend. That is Luke Scott. Luke is he's a good guy. You know, every once in a while you run into somebody and go, you know, that's a good guy. Now, it works in the converse. I do need you to be aware that sometimes you deal with somebody and you go, hey, that's not a good guy. And you every once in a while go, you remember so-and-so? Yeah, he's still not a good guy. Or, remember such? Oh, my God, he's an even better guy than he was before. But I'll get all those details up, and you and I will absolutely help out Luke and the team as they're going to heat the holler down there in western North Carolina, because that seems to be the challenge. It looks like, because of our incredible governor, Governor Glenn Youngkin, and Virginia Department of Emergency Management, all the other people that are helping out, it looks like Southwest Virginia is kind of on track for everything that they need at the moment. So that's pretty cool, right? We'll give you details on that. I read a weird story today from the Henrico Citizen. You know, I like Tom Lapis, and I think Henrico Citizen is a great publication. I loved it when it was in the print form, and you get it at like the supermarket or something. But it's been online for a while, and they do some good stuff. But they just got a grant. It's $100,000. And I thought, well, good for you, because Tom's a good guy. But then I started digging further, and it's allegedly this grant to help promote journalism. And then there's this whole thing about democracy, and then I keep scratching the surface going, what is behind all of this? I don't know, but I'm going to look into it and see if I can't dig up whatever you need to know. This evening at the Beacon Theater, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. Just got a great text from my dear friend Tom Leonard, Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market. It's where Heidi and I shop, as you know. But Tom said TJ and I are looking forward to seeing you tonight. Absolutely, same here, Tom. Cannot wait. My dear friend Parrish, who is a good guy, retired from the Chesterfield County Police. Just a heads up to everybody, 95 South can be nasty, so you may want to look at 295 as you are headed down to the Beacon Theater this evening. That's a good piece of advice. And I've got a little text here from Jan and Ashland. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. Remember, we are in our countdown to Politics and Pints. I kid you, it's like 2.5 hours from now, which is so exciting. And I am so anxious to see everybody down there. And I don't want you to think that when I go to take a shower, I'm taking you with me. I'm doing it on my own. Thank you very much. And getting dressed and getting caffeinated and all the rest of that stuff. So you're going to be in very good hands because the Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show continues. Remember, it's all brought to you by James River Air. John Reed's going to be hopping on the radio. Gary Hess is going to be there. Hugh Joyce from James River Air is going to be there. Allegedly, Howard Gutman's going to be there, but I don't know. We'll see. It all happens as we're getting ready for Politics and Pints at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. News Radio WRVA. Well, we got a long way to go. Exactly. Germ, has this not been the best Jeff Katz show ever in the history of Jeff Katz shows? God, it's almost over. Isn't that nice? A minimal amount of pressure. No visible wounds. Happy hour begins early. Man, this is a big-time winner. All right, let me share with you a couple of things coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. First one, this is hysterical, and I hope that this person doesn't take it the wrong way, but Jeff, how about a little information on the parking situation down at the Beacon? I've worked on the sign in the past, but I'm not bringing a bucket truck to park under the sign tonight. 804 says, 804, let me tell you something. The first time we were at the Beacon Theater, people think I joke when I say nobody tells me anything. Legitimately, nobody tells me anything. I had to park on the street because nobody actually told me that there was a parking lot to use. Hand to God, as sure as I'm sitting here, if I'm lying to you, may God strike me dead right here. Boom, end of story. So I have no tips on parking, except that I do know there's on-street parking because at the very first one, I myself parked on the street. 804. Hey, Jeff, it's Jan and Ashlyn. I heard the conversation between John Reed and Howard Gutman this morning, and whoa, Howard was unhinged. He was talking over top of John, fussing about Kamala being healthier than President Trump. I mean, Howard was ranting. Howard always rants. Howard is, by training, a practitioner of the dark arts. So he gets paid by the word. He's always gotten paid by the word. And he's, how do you say it nicely? Howard's a swamp dweller. Now, you know, I love Howard. I really do. I think he's a mensch. Every time I'm involved in some sort of charitable thing where I got to raise money for something, one of the first people steps right up to the plate, whipping out his checkbook, is Howard. And for big bucks. He's never said, yeah, look, here's $18. I hope it works for you. No, I mean, Howard's always made big-time donations to anything I've ever asked him about. That's the truth. And so on a personal level, I really do like Howard. On a professional level, if you would, he's bat crap freaking crazy. He's nuts. And he's so far in the tank for the leftists, man. I'm not surprised that he was totally wound up this morning. He'll be even more wound up this evening. So if you're coming to Politics and Pints tonight, do we have EMTs on scene? Because we need to. No, I mean, I honestly don't know if we do because nobody tells me, but I'm hoping somebody would. Because Howard could get so worked up, he could just, you know, pass out.
Come on, man.
Well, he might. I wonder if he's going to wear his COVID costume. Remember that? He looked like the Michelin Man, and then he had the space helmet, the whole bit. Well, anyway, he's going to be there tonight. That's what the promise is. Brian Kilmeade is coming back, which is very cool. Dana Lash is in town for this. First time I think she's ever been here, so that's going to be nice. And me, obviously, and John Reed, of course, and the guy who never, ever, ever, ever gets enough credit. That's my pal Gary Hess. Gary just does a great job. Gary is our master of ceremonies. He's kind of the referee, keeps everybody moving along exactly as they are supposed to, and that is great. Do not fear, even though I am jumping in the shower now. No, there will be no visuals, but I'm jumping in the shower. I'm going to get dressed, and I'll be there in a bit. The Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show continues. It is all brought to you by James River Air. We got John Reed coming up, Gary Hess, allegedly Howard Gutman, Hugh Joyce. They're live on location already at the Beacon Theater, which is fan-dang-tastic. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody this evening at the Beacon Theater. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. I think this is Donald Trump related. I get knocked down and I get up again, right? Because Donald Trump, this guy, he keeps getting knocked down, and he keeps getting up. If he wasn't a billionaire, then I think more and more people would have sympathy for him. I think there would be a remarkable national, I don't know, charity to try to make him, you know, raise money for Donald Trump. But because he's a billionaire, nobody has any sympathy for him. The other thing that's significant about Donald Trump is that he is a Republican. So, of course, there's no sympathy for a Republican, no matter what happens with a Republican. They're very, you know, the mass media is eager to see them trashed. So this will be very interesting tonight. I thought about doing a drinking game here at Politics and Pints, where you take a shot every time Kamala is said, or you take a shot every time Trump is said. But I figured we wouldn't make it 30 minutes into the show at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell tonight. It's going to be a packed house, and by the way, this is John Reed as Jeff Katz. Did he say he was going to take a shower? I think when I was driving from Richmond down here to Hopewell, it sounded like Jeff said he needed an extra hour to, I mean, I understand the getting caffeinated thing, but he said that he needed to hop in and out of the shower. So
I guess they were paying against it. You got to have that for radio.
I'm waiting for that. It's John Reed, Hugh Joyce from James River Air, with me live, sitting on the stage at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell during the Jeff Katz Show. So we will see Jeff in a little bit. The doors open at 5:30 for Politics and Pints, Part 9, the Election Eve edition, which could be, you know, we debated whether we should do this before the election, after the election. Should it be? Yeah, I really wanted it to be a Saturday, November 2nd, but then maybe smarter people prevail because I think the sensitivities are going to be kind of crazy when we get to November 2nd.
Come on,
so
man.
Hugh has been with, there you go. Hugh has been with me on the morning show several times. You know, he runs James River Air. It's his company. And what's interesting is Hugh is up when I go on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning. And not every day, but pretty frequently, Hugh will send me a text message. Not as the James River Air CEO, but as an analyst. So when we were putting together this show, in anticipation of everybody arriving in Hopewell, I was like, why don't we get Hugh to come on and talk to us about the politics of the day? Because I actually think it's pretty insightful. And the business angle on things. So Hugh's going to be with us. We're glad you're here.
Kind of talk politics and try to bring the business perspective to that, because it is so important. You know, I've always been involved in politics and enjoy the process and think it's important to talk about it. And so, and you know, John, I am up early and I listen to what's going on. But the important thing is to talk about these ideas and matters. And then try to come to you know, good decisions that can move the country forward or the state forward or the city forward for whatever, you know, kind of election we're talking about. But I love election season, and it's exciting. It's great to see our country kind of come together, put issues on the table, run an election, have a process, and move forward. And, you know, elections are hard and they're difficult, but they force us. It's like budgeting every year. It forces you to go look at the numbers and look at the policies and say,
well, I wish they'd look at the numbers. You know, when it comes to the budget of the United States. I was with people today, you know, at that Virginia Council meeting. I spent 2 hours emceeing an event there with a guy from the Secret Service. It was really interesting. But a lady came up, and she's older than you. She's older than me. She's older than you. And she said that she thinks it's the worst season and that the civility's completely gone. This is not what she was used to growing up and when she was a younger woman, when she was raising her children. She thinks it's horrible. Would you agree with that? Social media makes it feel like it's worse?
I think social media certainly makes it feel like it's worse. And just the access to information, there's every million streaming cable, YouTube, RightTube, TikTok. There's so much information out there. And I do agree to some extent that it has become extremely emotional and overcharged.
That's the other thing that's a problem. Yeah, it's good for me because then I have something to talk about for a whole year.
It's forever because you know you've got 2 year races, 1 year races, whatever. But you know the, what concerns me is I don't like it when you know families become vindictive against each other or whatever because of their political leaning one way or the other. I mean, if some have bumper stickers, that's a problem. If other people have bumper stickers, it's not a problem. And you know, it's as a business person, you know, I don't talk about my politics, you know, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Probably
because
smart.
You can't. But you know, for the average person, it is disappointing when you're not able to promote your candidate without being attacked in some way. And so, I certainly think with regard to these campaigns, we really to a time where you can pick a candidate, but that doesn't define you as an individual. And I think it's a problem if you pick a candidate and someone says, well, if you pick that guy, you're all these bad things. So I can understand what that lady is saying, but I still love the thrill of the election process and picking our new leaders. So, you know, for me, it's a good time.
Well, it's going to be a good time at the Beacon Theater tonight. Now, granted, another great suggestion I had that they shot down. I come up with so many wonderful ideas at this radio station. They always shoot them down. But one of them was to have a Democrat section. Not a large one, not a huge, not 100 seats, but maybe 25 or 30 seats where we gave out tickets to Democrats just to balance it a little bit and have them in here. Now, they might not like it. They might not like what we have to say, but then we could when we do the Q&A, you know, because there's a Q&A section to our performance, if you want to call it that tonight, then we could go to the Democrats and say, oh, what did you think? And Howard Gutman, have you seen Howard yet?
No.
I was stuck in the traffic, man. I almost missed this. So I just barely made it. He was up here on the stage, you know, ready to do the show without me. Howard's supposed to be here. And did you hear him this morning? You didn't text me this morning. Were you? Why weren't you listening to the show?
I was working diligently this morning.
Okay.
I'm preparing for a wedding.
Oh, really? Well, then yeah. I'm surprised you can do this tonight. Howard was in Miami at 7:05 this morning. Originally he was going to fly throughout the day from Belgium or something to get here to Hopewell. And I called Howard and I said, look, I've done those international trips. You're going to miss the show. There's no way. On the one day you have to be someplace, the plane will not take off or there'll be something crazy. You can't do it. So anyway, he stayed in Miami. He was on with us at 7:05 this morning. He swears he's going to be here, but I haven't seen him yet. And Jeff keeps saying that he's not going to make it. Now, I don't know. I don't think Howard's scared of us. He should be after this morning because I'm a friendly guy. I enjoy talking to Howard. I like Howard. Howard drives me crazy. And I think Howard is, he's not misinformed because he's really super smart. Didn't he go to Harvard or something? I mean, he's a super smart guy. But the stuff he was peddling this morning, I had to go do a lap around the radio station after the interview because it was so outrageous.
Well, I didn't hear it, but what's the most outrageous thing? What's the most outrageous thing you heard?
That I don't know if he said this on air or off air. That whenever we talk about illegal immigration, what he hears is hate. And I'm thinking, Howard, illegal immigration is a thing. It's a real thing. It's not, you know, this is not something made. It's not like.
I don't think it's hate in any way, shape, or form. I mean,
it's called obeying the law.
When you go to the country as a citizen, you come back through Border Patrol, Customs. I mean, you go through a process as a citizen to come back in the country. Shouldn't everyone go through a process
It's one of the reasons I get furious when I'm at Dulles and I'm standing in line after, you know, 12 hours of travel, and I got to wait in line for another hour when I know if I just went to the southern border, you know,
it's that easy. But I do think to have a country, you have to have strong borders, and to have a great country, you have to have strong borders. But you also have a strong immigration process and policy, and I think that needs work in America too, because we need to be immigrating more people to the country legally. So this isn't about hating anybody. This is about immigrating people.
Well, then you need to, when Howard's here, and maybe in a couple of minutes, you back me up. Hugh Joyce from James River Air is with us as we do the pre-show presented by James River Air, live from the stage of the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. We're about to see, 700 people in person in just a couple of hours for Politics and Pints Part 9 in the Election Edition. We're back with more in just a moment on News Radio WRVA. I think maybe Howard has run away after this morning. He did. I mean, I didn't think it was that bad, but boy, people lit up the Chronic Air Richmond text line this morning. Howard was on, and it was early. It was at 7:05. I deliberately told producer Dan to put Howard early in the show so that if it went badly, that it wouldn't ruin the whole show. Because Howard's an acquired taste. I mean, Howard's a nice guy. And you know, if you've been to Politics and Pints in the past and you've heard the Howard Gutman As I See It show on Saturday, Howard is an extraordinary person. He was Barack Obama's ambassador, and he corrected me this morning, so let me get it right. He was not Barack Obama's ambassador. He was the American ambassador appointed by Barack Obama. Very, I get your point. But, you know, you're like the only Democrat I know who wants to be patriotic. I'm sorry. But anyway, Howard was the ambassador to Belgium under Barack Obama. That is a fair statement. And then he worked at the FBI, and I think he was at the DOJ, has worked for all these Democrats. So he knows what he's talking about. But I think, honestly, based on his appearance this morning, it was like TDS. It was Trump derangement syndrome. And we're sitting here on the stage at the Beacon Theater. The theater is empty at the moment. They're about to open the doors for the VIP, and just over an hour for that. And then at 7 o'clock, this place is packed. I don't think they even have one seat left in the balcony for the Politics and Pints show tonight. And I'm kind of worried about Howard. Now, I can't defend Howard. It's not like I can get up here and tag team with Howard and defend. So this is going to be it. This is really going to be interesting with Dana Lash and Brian Kilmeade. You know who's with me right now from James River Air is Hugh Joyce. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you specifically, and we'll have to carry some of this over to the next half hour, Hugh, is Donald Trump spoke to the Economic Club of Chicago yesterday, I think it was, and the editor of Bloomberg was there. They talked a lot about tariffs and the editor of Bloomberg apparently has spent 25 years talking about how terrible tariffs are, and Trump is saying, hey, it gives me leverage against people who are not trying to look out for the American people or American business, American manufacturing. Tariffs give me leverage. Stop beating up on tariffs. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, you have to use tariffs, but I personally think they should be a last-ditch effort. If I were on access to markets, you know, what I access to the markets in China, and I want to be able to sell American goods over there. That's what I want. And
that's cut off.
And,
and,
I, Donald Trump is talking about in terms of tariffs have a lot of effect to the average American, and when they get involved, it puts false pressure on markets, you know, whether it be solar or cars or energy products or technology products. So for me, certainly, I don't think tariffs should be off the table, and I certainly think that they give us leverage. But what I is access to those markets. Mm-hmm. Those people, and I think you have to work at it. And I certainly think that it's easy to sling a bunch of tariffs around. It's harder to get access to markets because we would get the Chinese goods into America at reasonable prices and get our goods sold to a huge market.
Trump said yesterday, he's like, this is how stupid everybody's been in the United States. They think that we're going to negotiate this at the United Nations and everybody's going to be nice. They're not nice. They're enjoying the stupidity of American leaders. So I've got to hit them between the eyes with something that makes them go, oh my God, were they serious? I mean, you know.
Well, yes, we need to have deep discussions on this, because if you look at any product in America that you're buying, particularly air conditioners, I mean, they are full of Chinese components, and a lot of them are being made in China now.
Right. So it could throw everything off.
Off when you start slinging those tariffs around. We have to do a better job of getting access to markets. Right. That's what we have to do.
So your HVAC system that you're selling, the one you just installed at my mother's house, does that have Chinese components in it?
Absolutely. They all do. And so does everything else. So I'm not saying to take them off the table, but I certainly think we need to be very what we do on those.
Yeah. I think Trump gets the American. If there's anybody I'm going to trust about this, it's the businessman for 60 years, Donald Trump. I just be honest with you. Hey, it's 4:26. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more in just a couple of moments. It's the Politics and Pints Part 9 Election Edition pre-show presented by James River Air. I'm John Reed. We're back with more in a moment on News Radio WRVA.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Now this, I am telling you, because I know showmanship. Nobody else at the station. I will make this fun tonight, and so it will be at Howard's expense. But I told the boss, I was like, Howard is going to be furious if that's his walkout music. I picked out my walkout music, and I'm very excited about it.
I think Howard's already furious based on what I heard this morning.
Gary Hess joins us now live from the Beacon Theater. We're up on the stage at the Beacon Theater for the pre-show, the Politics and Pints Part 9 election pre-show presented by James River Air. We're also joined by Hugh Joyce, who is the CEO of James River Air. He joins us occasionally. He texts me all the time, but he joins us occasionally on the show. What do you think of they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats? Have you heard this?
Very humorous. somewhat disheartening that is the number one thing taken away from.
I know.
It's eating a dog or a cat, so let's go on the record there. But there are really big issues that it would be, I think, better if we were talking about.
The left jumped on that, and they acted like it was impossible. And I said, I've been all through the Caribbean. I've been all through Central and South America. I've been in Asia. And the last time I was in China, walk down the street, their big pen of dogs that they're waiting to dip into oil to boil. Idea that wouldn't happen in a place where people are in trouble trying to eat. I mean, the left tries to pretend that everything's a Hallmark card, everything is nice, and it's just not. But one thing I'll give them credit for is they seize on something and they do make it entertaining. Like that song, very entertaining.
For that, and all of them were quite funny.
Yes.
yeah. Yeah, I think what's more interesting to me is no one found out what the truth was.
Yeah, why is that?
I mean, no, to me, and that's my big concern in America today is what is the truth and where is the investigative reporting that goes up and says, yeah, it really happened, or no, it was a sham? Because at this point, we do not know.
They did not send an objective reporter on a plane to whatever, to Springfield,
Ohio,
and then don't just go knock on the door at the mayor's office. What do you think the mayor's going to say? The mayor's going to say, everything is fine here. I want to be reelected. That's like asking the guy who owns the hotel whether he's got bed bugs. What do you think the answer is going to be? No.
John, and as a business owner and leader and someone who cares about Virginia and cares about the country, one of my biggest challenges is getting factual-based news so I can make decisions. And so this goes to a much bigger picture is nobody is really going out and getting to the truth, and it is a problem.
They're spending a fortune to do a show, and I speak, 10 years at Channel 8 as one of the anchors and one of the reporters at Channel 8, and then I dealt with all the big guys when I was in Washington as a comms director, and then in New York for the charity I was dealing with. There's something that has changed, and it's not a commitment to objective analysis and finding facts. It's propagating a narrative. And I hate to say that because it kind of indicts everybody I ever worked with. I work for a CBS station, an ABC station. I wouldn't want that job.
Well, I mean, everybody loves a good show. We love a good comedy. We love all that kind of thing. But when it comes to news and business and the country and people and politics, it is a challenge.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, this is why I always am resistant when you try to drag me into discussions.
You figured it out, huh? I'm a question.
He always tries to drag me in, and I'm like, as long as I'm sitting in the news anchor chair, you're not going to know my opinion.
Because you're old-fashioned, Gary. Other people don't do it that way. And that's one reason I think our audience likes you in the morning, is that you're old-fashioned in a good way. I don't mean that in a negative. It's a good thing that someone can't listen to the newscast and immediately peg you as Republican, Democrat, Kamala Harris supporter, Donald Trump supporter. I mean, you tell us, how do you curate the news? You come in at 3:30 in the morning, I'm still sound asleep, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to cover that day. How do you pick it?
I mean, I look at a variety of sources. I wean what I can find to be the details, and then I write basically my news story is going to be, like, even if it paints, the Republican Party in a bad light, I'm not going to comment on that, or the Democrats or anything. I'm just going to say, if I'm covering the campaign, Kamala Harris went here and said this. Donald Trump went here and said this. It's up for you to analyze.
But you're still stuck with what the Associated Press gives you or a Fox News gives you.
I have AP. I have different websites I look at. Uh-huh. And then we have the Fox News audio feed for the national stuff.
So news is regurgitated by a few pipelines. And so getting to any different fact than what they want you to have is gone in America today for the most part. So it is bothersome to me because you just can't get to the truth. But I do appreciate it when the politics is not bled into the news where we're trying to get facts.
It's almost impossible. Let me ask you, Hugh Joyce, the CEO of James River Air.
Measly president, by the way, not even the CEO, which I'm a working guy. So FYI.
So president, what are we getting all worked up about this election for then?
Did you used to read the Wall Street Journal as your go-to source? Because I've had a lot of people who, they're not hyper-political Republicans. They're Republicans, but they're not hyper-political Republicans who have said, God, I can't even read the Wall Street Journal anymore.
That's the first piece of news I read every morning. It's the first one that comes to my box. Yeah, the first one. Uh-huh. But I triangulate
online.
Online only. I only read news. I don't watch TV. I read news. But I triangulate to the news. So I triangulate from conservative to generic to liberal and then triangulate to the story, because you can't read one source and get to news anymore.
Well,
You know what happened this morning? I hate to keep beating up on Howard, but I mean,
don't beat up on Howard.
It's going to be a night of beating up on Howard. And Howard didn't even hear yet, I don't think. Is that Howard in the audience? No. That's just the sales guy. Okay. Howard said this morning, Donald Trump has dementia. He's in decline. He danced on stage for 28 minutes. I said, wait a minute, Howard. I don't think he danced. The two people passed out or had a heart attack or something. And rather than speak and give a speech while these poor people are being treated on the floor of the auditorium, I think he said, let's play some music, right?
Going back to what Hugh was just talking about, did Howard say that after watching all 28 minutes of what happened?
No, I think he got it to MSNBC. Probably. We should ask him.
Or is he hearing somebody else's narrative of what
happened? But that's what the MSNBC and Fox, we're a Fox radio station. I think you got to be careful that you don't repeat something that isn't true or that there's another angle on it. I mean, in that case, it's... Yeah, he stood on stage for 20 minutes and played music and kind of acted weird. I mean, his dancing thing is kind of odd.
But that wasn't
the point.
What's the playbook when you're on stage and somebody has a medical emergency? You can't continue with, it's like, what do you do? Is there a video? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's
no playbook for that. And so...
But they were acting like this was a sign that he was in the mental ward at the retirement home, you know, running around in his bathrobe or something crazy. Yeah, that wasn't the case. And that was at the early part of the interview. And then as it went on, and I went on so long with Howard that we didn't get to sports with Gary, which I try not to do, but it was like a train wreck. We couldn't stop with Howard. So God knows what he's going to say tonight. Live from the stage of the Beacon Theater. You know, I'm being told we need to take a quick commercial break. So why don't we do that? It's 4:44 here on this Wednesday. We are on the stage at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. The doors opening in just about 45 minutes for the VIP folks who are, well, I'd like to think they're coming to see me and Jeff and, you know, maybe Howard, but they're probably here to see Dana Lash and Brian Kilmeade, our big national stars who will be on stage. So we will be right back with Hugh Joyce, the president of James River Air, and my good friend and colleague Gary Hess from Richmond's Morning News. We're live on the Jeff Katz Show as he commutes here to Hopewell with our special pre-show edition of Politics and Pints on News Radio WRVA. You know what's coming. Here we go, everybody. Stand by. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm.
Who are we dedicating? Are we dedicating this to Hillary or Kamala or... See, it sounds sexist when I put it that way. I don't mean it in a sexist way, because if it was, you know, Margaret Thatcher who was running, probably even if Margaret Thatcher wouldn't run as a Democrat, but if it was someone with some dignity who had a total command of the issues, who seemed to have a philosophy that they could articulate at the drop of a hat, you never could push them off point, then I would admire that. I mean, I probably wouldn't vote for him, but I would admire that. Tulsi Gabbard was someone who was a Democrat who probably would have, I think, handled herself better on the national stage as a Democrat. Still, I'm not sure I could vote for Tulsi Gabbard, but I have to tell you, I think she is grounded. There's something weird about Kamala Harris. And we'll talk about that tonight at Politics and Pints. What is it? How in the world did this lady, and I want to be respectful, she's the Vice President of the United States. On paper, she's got a great resume. I mean, Attorney General of California and U.S. Senator, and she's probably senator longer than Barack Obama was senator before he became president, and then Vice President of the United States for 4 years. On paper, now, bad results as Vice President of the United States, but still Vice President. You would think that just that alone, she would be able to get up and hold her own with questions from snarky reporters and obnoxious comments from talk show hosts. She just doesn't seem to be able to do it. So I'll tell you what, I'm on the stage at the Beacon Theater with my colleague Gary Hess from The Morning Show and the president of James River Air, Hugh Joyce. Hugh, I mean, is it sexist to watch Kamala Harris attempt to be objective and think maybe she just didn't up for this task? Is that rude to say, or would you argue with that? What's your assessment, I guess?
I certainly don't think her being a woman has anything to do with this at all. And certainly I think America's ready and should have a woman president as soon as possible. I just don't know if Kamala Harris is the right woman to be the president. I don't know if she is or if she isn't. But what I think people need to look at, and what I look for, is what is she saying about the issues that are important? What is she saying about the economy? What is she saying about inflation? What is she saying about energy? What is she saying about government regulation?
She's saying it's not her fault. That's what she's saying. That's about it.
Well, right. It, you know, if you've been around for 4 years, you know, it may or may not be. But the what's important is what are the policies? What are we saying? What are we doing? And, you know, how can that energize business and the people to move forward? And I would ask the same questions of Donald Trump as well. What is he saying? What are his plans? What's he going to do for inflation, the economy, and those types of things? And
objectively, you look at the Trump years, pre-COVID, right?
Yes.
And say, economically, from an inflation standpoint, from a price standpoint, from the I know you're very interested in manufacturing with your business and making sure that the prices stay down so you don't have to price yourself out of the market with your customers. I'm assuming that. I mean, it was good under Trump, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. And then you had COVID, and we had the reaction to COVID, which is not necessarily Donald Trump's fault, and it's certainly not necessarily Joe Biden's fault and Kamala Harris's fault. But you see both of them blame the other for the problems, which is a little bit disingenuous when the problem was COVID itself. And then our reaction to COVID, massive government spending, and then more spending after we said after it was advised to don't spend anymore,
And crashing the economy,
and then restrictive energy policy, and you create a potion, a potion that's going to have bad economic impact, which is inflation and all of those things that come along with it. So, at this point, someone has to start talking about how do we fix it? And the fix is going to be difficult and not easy.
Oh, it's good. But I trust Trump to find a fix that's not government-centric before I trust any Democrat to do that. And I'll tell you, I was saying it on the air in 2020, COVID happened. People like Ralph Northam, who was the Democrat governor of Virginia, they all got in line to shut down the economy. And I, to this day, no one has dissuaded me that it wasn't about politics. I think COVID was a problem, but 2 or 3 months into it, we knew who was vulnerable to dying. I don't want people to die. My parents are old. My dad was sick.
And we also knew the best treatments, and we didn't allow them.
And we didn't allow them.
Offered.
And we closed down the economy. And there are consequences to that. And guess who was standing up saying what quote from Donald Trump, the cure can't be worse than the disease. And everybody laughed at him. I was like, I know exactly what you mean. You could crash America if you're not careful about this. All right, I'm being told that we got to go. Give me a time cue as we get closer to the deadline here. It's John Reed live on the stage at the Beacon Theater. The pre-show for the Politics and Pints Election Edition brought to you by James River Air on News Radio WRVA.
Yeah, I need a 4-3-2 if you're going to count.
Howard, I think, is going to have a rough night getting knocked down tonight with with Dana Loesch especially. I don't know why we're not worried about Brian Kilmeade. He was so polite and very nice last time we did Politics and Pints. But now we're adding Dana Loesch, and I just don't think she is going to be as deferential to Howard as in the past. It's John Reed with you on the Jeff Katz Show. Jeff is, I think he's out of the shower now. I mean, we could do like the O.J. Chase, and we could track him on the way to Hopewell to the Beacon Theater for Politics.
Somebody following is not a white Bronco, but
here comes Jeff. He's on the way to the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. Now, we're going to open the doors in about 24 minutes for the VIP folks who have bought tickets to meet Dana Loesch, to meet Brian Kilmeade. Jeff and I will be there. Gary, you hear Gary Hess, who's with me in the mornings.
I wander in and out.
Yeah, Howard will be there. People are usually very polite to Howard, like, hello, Howard, and they just keep on walking. Hello, Mr. Gutman. Hello, Ambassador Gutman, and they keep on walking. And then, of course, on the stage right now at the Beacon Theater is Hugh Joyce, the president of James River Air. And our pre-show Politics and Pints election edition is brought to us by James River Air. So we're glad that you can be with us.
Great.
Yeah. Now, we were talking before the break. We got into a very, very deep intellectual conversation, and Gary tapped me on the shoulder and said, I have an important point to make. So, Gary Hess, you take it away. What was the point you were trying to make?
We ran out of time, and you didn't get to do it. So, Gary, go ahead.
We ran out of time. We went overtime, but we're listening to the morning show are used to that. that was the point I want. No, yes. Just kidding. He was talking about, talking about solutions to the economic problem, to the runaway spending, to the deficit, and those solutions are not going to be pleasant, and it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be, a pleasant thing to go through and to hear. The problem with that is you don't win elections that way. When you are running for president, no one wants to hear, we've got to cut the deficit, it's going to be horrible, we've got to cut this program, that program, we just got to, hike up our boots and get to work, and because we've got, economic problems that are going to result, and the fixes are not going to be pleasant. No one wants to hear that. And so that is not how you win at the ballot box.
Although there are some people, I hear exactly what you're saying. Economically, that's certainly true.
No, economic, and what I'm saying is that may appeal to some people who get it. But, the thing of it is, it's all about, I would say how many votes, but it's all about 270. You don't get to 270 electoral votes by making that kind of talk.
You can't tell seniors, social security, you're going to have to retire later or there's not going to be as much money or you'll get killed. But when it comes to the border wall, Trump tells the truth. We're being overrun. We've got a lot of crime that we don't need to accept. There are enough people who realize that in America today that they're willing to vote for Trump, even though the left freaks out and acts like he's a xenophobe and a hater.
Going back to the economy, that's why they call Social Security the third rail of American politics. You go down that the road of Social Security reform, you lose.
Well, you just have to be careful with all that, because the economy is the number one issue in these elections, at least that's what I read anyway. So people want to hear about it, and they want to hear about our plans, as leaders. So, yes, a lot of it is difficult.
But, Hugh, my question to you is, when normal people respond to polls and say, my number one issue is the economy, what they're talking about is their economy.
Right.
They're talking about how much it costs them when they go to the grocery store, how much it costs to fill up with gas, how much their bills are going to be every month, how much the interest rate is on their mortgage. That's what they're talking
about. Absolutely. And when they go into the voting box and they pull that little curtain behind them, they don't vote on that. There's one issue that is bothering them, that motivates them, and they vote. So, and that's your little swing percent, that 5% that swings back and forth to get you to that magic 270. And when you look at these races, in 2020, they were lost by, 20, 30, 40,000 votes. I mean, that is just a de minimis number. So, certainly, issues are important.
Who is a truth teller? Rand Paul, I think, is a truth teller. I don't agree with every conclusion he's reached, but I think he says, I don't give a damn whether you like it or not. I'm telling you the truth. We're going to collapse. Who else is would you agree with that? I think he's...
I I think Rand Paul's a very interesting person. I certainly like to listen to him. You know, there are not a lot of people that are really getting the facts out on the table and having the difficult conversations that we need to have with the American citizens. Because they don't win elections, so they can't do it.
And what you need is someone who gets in the White House who's not going to run for re-election. When you get someone in on a second term or who knows this is it, and right at the beginning, here are the hard conversations we got to have, and I can have them because I'm not running again.
And that's one of the reasons that the left is extremely concerned with Donald Trump. If he gets in there, he will go after things that they really like, and he may be able to do things with them.
Because so, it's all or nothing for him.
Yeah, he's Maybe not running for re-election. Run, yeah. And certainly I think everyone needs to be careful when you do that because, you know, the founding fathers, when they put this thing together, didn't want crazy swings in government. They wanted cross checks and balances, and they wanted, smooth transitions. So, yeah, he can get in there and do things, but metered action in as a business person is always better for the people.
But have you ever had to in how many years have you been at James River Air?
I've been working over there for 40 years.
So 40 years. There's a lot of ups and downs economically in the United States and in Virginia in 40 years. Have you ever had to call everybody into the room and say, I hate this, guys. 10% of you are out as of today. Have you ever had to make that kind of tough call?
Yes, we have done that. We don't take pride in the fact that we had to do that. But, yes, we have brought people in and we've reduced positions.
Which is awful, but that's reality.
But it's the reality.
No one seems to be able to do it in government.
Well, in government, and that is something that I really think they need to be talking about. Listen, you could go into government and let every other person go, and it would probably function just fine.
Elon Musk thinks that.
Yeah, but I don't even propose that. I would just propose everyone comes back and works at the office 9 to 5, and you cut your staff by 2% a year for 3 years.
Hmm.
Very metered, measured process. That will work. But, government, in my mind, is too big. We're asking our government to do too much, and we just need to rethink that. We need to think, what do we want our government to do? What do we want them to be involved in? And just remember, when we cede a power to government, it will always be abused to the maximum extent possible, and then more. So, we're asking government to do all these things. We should ask them to do less and be smaller.
When I think of Kamala Harris, and one of the things she said in the debate was we needed to talk about child care, expensive child. I mean, look, child care is expensive. Any kind of care for anybody, care for your elderly parents is expensive. Care for my Siberian Huskies, for God's sake. Everything's crazy expensive. I don't expect the federal government to solve that problem for me. In fact, I've been told by some people who run daycare centers that the federal government is the reason that the price is so high, that they've got to jump through all these hoops. You can't just open a child care place at the local church the way you did when I was growing up. It was Mother's Morning Out. Remember that? You can't do that anymore because everything's got to be regulated. So they're actually the ones that are driving the price up, supposedly. Maybe
know,
there's more
I know
to it.
Multiple churches that have gotten out of the daycare business.
Oh, really?
Because of that.
Yeah.
Because of the cost.
I think it's to your point, Hugh, whenever you go to the government, state government, local government, federal government especially, you're going to blow up the costs, you're going to create drama that you probably can't come back from. Then you can't ever fix it once it grows. We've got to run.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll pick this up. It's 5:15 on this Wednesday. Politics and Pints starts at 7 o'clock on the dot here in the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. This is the Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show brought to you by James River Air. I'm John Reed, back with more in a moment on the Jeff Katz Show on News Radio WRVA.
From the wackos on the left to the maggots on the right, They know I'm beating Kamala. This race won't even be tied. Her policies are nutso. She's out her goddamn mind. She just repeats the same thing, regurgitating her lines. She thinks that immigration without paperwork is good. Clearly not too much power underneath Kamala's hood. Borders are.
Borders are. I love it. I love it. You think that's AI that wrote that song? I mean, it is Donald Trump's voice. So it's got to be AI, but it's very clever. Whoever did that, it's very, very clever. I mean, it's not nice for poor Kamala, but I mean, the first time I heard that, I was like, just like the they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats thing, there are some creative people out there. They may not be taking the issues very seriously, but they're certainly entertaining. We're going to try to be entertaining at the Beacon Theater tonight in Hopewell. I'm John Reed. I'm filling in as Jeff Katz makes his way to Hopewell for the show tonight, which starts where they're opening the doors in 6 minutes for the VIP, where you'll meet Dana Loesch and Brian Kilmeade if you've got that ticket. And if you have a regular general admission ticket, that's great, too, because that show starts at 7. And we are sitting up here on the stage. I'm joined by my colleague in the morning, Gary Hess, our news guy. How are you, sir?
I like to call this the Politics and Pints tailgate show.
Well, it is kind of it, except we don't have food or drinks.
I know.
No one order food this year?
Where are the Bellinis and the French 75s for the tailgate?
This is Gary said last year when we did the debrief on what we needed, didn't you say fried chicken, some pizzas?
I'm not that guy, but I'm like, if you want us to be here from 4 o'clock till almost 10,
is there food in the lobby?
There should be sustenance.
The other voice you hear, Hugh Joyce, who's the president of James River Air, our pre-show, our tailgate show, is brought to you by James River Air. So we're really excited about it. I have not seen Howard yet. Hey, have you guys seen Howard? Is Howard here? Howard is not. See, Howard was supposed to be on the air with us for a whole hour, and he's ducked out. And I think it's because we had such a unpleasant, kind of hot conversation on the morning show this morning. Did you hear it, Gary?
I heard the tail end of it. I got a text from a friend of mine who said something like, "This is awful." And so I said, "Well, I better turn it on," and because I was busy working.
Imagine that. Yeah, look, it is unfair. I have to say this. It's unfair that it's going to be what,
four on one.
I mean, Dana Loesch, she doesn't care about Howard. How much is she? She's making like $5 or $6 million a year or something. Brian Kilmeade, I think he's making $5 or $6 million a year, and they don't live in Richmond. I'm gonna let them do the dirty work because I gotta still live in this town. Then you got Jeff. Then you got me. I'm Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I'm Mr. Nice. I'm the only one who's nice on this stage. I'm probably the only one who actually. Well, you too, Gary, but you don't have the same job.
Yeah, but Gary's a very nice man.
Thank you.
Hate tonight, I think. And in all fairness, we probably should have. Do you think Bennett, our boss, would have been good to put? I mean, the three of us would have.
Whether I'm nice or not is irrelevant because all I'm doing is throwing out topics. I'm not.
So Gary's got the MC role, which means that he's dealing with us on the stage and he's dealing with the audience. And can I say this because I know a lot of people are probably on the way to Hopewell. It is raucous. This is not Masterpiece Theater. It's not The View. It's not anything. It's much more raucous than that. But there was one lady who was here maybe a year ago. I mean,
It was two or three times ago. It was still at the Ashland Theater.
And she was the F word. She was cussing. And I kept looking like,
oh, my.
Kind of, oh, yeah. She
I
was,
think it was more pints than politics.
So the pints got in the way of the politics. Well, okay.
We got to worry about that. That's why we need the pizza.
Well, all I wanted was a Bellini. And there's no Bellinis here for me. So
5:27 on the Jeff Katz Show. It is the Politics and Pints Election Edition Tailgate Show, as Gary wants to call it, presented to you by James River Air. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm John Reed, News Radio, WRVA.
It's true. Been here 5 minutes. You got a Steelers shirt on. You got a Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh, see, I agree with Michael Jackson about this. Leave me alone.
Please leave me alone. Stop trying to help me. I mean, even some of the people in Southwest Virginia are saying that about FEMA. You know, now I'm disinformation about FEMA, right? If you say anything about FEMA, you're a horrible person. But this is a difficult thing. We were talking earlier about disinformation and no one actually reporting on things. What's true? What's not true? I still am calling people that I know in Southwest Virginia, people who are driving to Southwest Virginia to drop off supplies, and I'm asking them, what did you see? What, I mean, do I have to get in the car and drive 3.5 hours to Bristol to figure that out, to be able to report? Hey, we welcome you back here on this Wednesday. It's 5:35. The doors just opened for the VIP experience with Dana Lash and Brian Kilmeade. I'm John Reed, filling in on the Jeff Katz Show here from 3 to 6 on News Radio WRVA. It's the Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show, although Gary just renamed it the Tailgate Show because he does the football stuff. So I'm going. Because that would imply that you'd bring us some food and a drink or two.
And we love a good tailgate.
And Hugh Joyce, who is the president of James River Air, is with us. And James River Air presents this final half hour of the Jeff Katz Show as we get ready to welcome. How many people does this place hold? Like 600 people at the Beacon Theater? It's really nice. If you haven't been to Hopewell, I don't know when the next Politics and Pints will be. But they have the Virginia Opry. You know, it was a country show. Alonzo and I came to that last year. We had a really good time. Governor Allen came the next week, so I was mad that I missed Governor Allen coming to that. He really loves the old country music. And then they have a wide variety of rock acts and kind of throwback acts that are here at the Beacon. And it's hard. I mean, maybe if you're in the last row of the balcony. I'm looking at it right now because we're on the stage at the Beacon getting ready for the show. It's not bad. You know, you're not too far away from the stage. Not if you go to the Altria Theater, and I like the Altria Theater. I go to all the Broadway shows, as you know. If you're in the rear balcony, you better bring your binoculars because it's a flea circus on the stage.
Yeah, that's a big bet. This is a beautiful building and facility.
Yeah.
You've done a really great job at the Beacon Theater.
Restoring
it. Well, it's really, really neat.
I think Gone with the Wind was here. I think Wizard of Oz was here. We're not supposed to talk about the 10 years that it was a porno theater, so we'll let that pass.
That's past history.
Cleaned it all up.
It's what a great place, though. Really neat to be here at the Beacon Theater.
Yeah. Well, we've had some great events. This is our third Politics and Pints at the Beacon in Hopewell. And this one, like the other two, completely sold out. We're very excited about everybody who's coming. And it will be special tonight because we welcome a new cast member. Is that the way to put it? It's almost like the Love Boat, where we keep inviting new people to join us on the show. Dana Lash, who you hear from noon to 3, will be with us. And Brian Kilmeade, who's on from 10 to 12 right after the morning show, is also going to be live on stage here. And, you know, tomorrow, I hope that maybe we'll be able to play some clips. Minimally, I'll talk about it, but I hope we'll be able to play some clips. Producer Dan just arrived. What do they have you doing, Producer Dan?
That's a good question, John.
Can I just tell the morning show people will appreciate that.
Whatever
Producer
he's supposed
Dan.
To be whatever he's supposed to be doing, he's skipping out on it and
sitting
up here
with us. Chance to do his of course, Producer Dan, for the morning show people, I love Producer Dan. He does a great job, but he's very annoying about his Pittsburgh stuff, and he's wearing this Pittsburgh Steelers shirt. So when you come tonight, if you're on the highway on the way to the Beacon, you will spot Producer Dan very quickly with his Pittsburgh Steelers outfit. Do not feed the Bears. Don't ask him about the Pittsburgh Steelers, or you'll never get in the building. See, even the sports guy feels that way. It's just too much.
Yeah, it is.
I think we're supposed to talk about politics, and we will go into the difference between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, competence, and I would argue incompetence on her part. But, Hugh, you were pointing out that everyone's looking for the solution. Is it a shorter election cycle? Is it less money? Because, did you see that Kamala raised $1 billion since she got the nomination? An extra billion.
Yeah, the money in politics is a problem, in my opinion. And personally, I don't think you should be able to give money to a candidate unless you can vote for them. Because what you have is you have people from New York coming in and throwing a Virginia election, or people from Virginia going in and throwing a North Carolina election. And I don't think the founding fathers were thinking that's the way it was supposed to go on. So the money is concerning.
But then what if you just had one rich guy who said, I'm going to buy everybody?
Well, you probably should. Money should probably be limited to, you know, two, four, five grand. Now, of course, the radio stations don't want to hear that.
Yeah, that's right.
But the money, I mean, when you have Virginia Power is the number one donator to politicians, both Republican and Democrats, one or two or three top donor. That's a problem in my mind. A corporation being the number one, two, or three donor to a politician, there, and I don't think any corporation should be given money. You know, they can lobby, but so money, you know, tends to taint the process, in my opinion. And so I know.
In all the years you've been working at James River Air,
yes,
and you've dealt with all of these mayoral candidates and, you know, people are running statewide, people are running locally. Have you felt like there was anyone who said, hey, thank you, Hugh, I really like you, but I disagree with you, and you do understand that if you give a donation to my campaign, you can't expect to call me? Or, I mean, what is your – maybe a better question would be, what is your expectation if you do personally donate to someone? What's your expectation?
Well, I have no expectation of any kind of favor or anything like that. You know, what – you know, when I donate it, it is to have a relationship with that candidate so that I can at least, you know, give them opinions and insight. So I'm not.
You don't expect to buy the person. You expect to be able to share information.
Anything with it. I expect to be able to work with them and help them frame issues and better our state or our country. But it is a problem when you have the Koch brothers coming in and throwing an election, or you have Soros coming in and throwing an election. It's a problem. And I don't know how you fix that.
Yeah, without stomping on people. What about the term limits idea? Everybody, you know, everybody thinks that's so wonderful until they have a person they really like.
Well, I don't like term limits because if you've got someone doing a good job, you're going to kick them out. And, you know, the government is, particularly in Congress, I mean, you're running a $5 trillion a year company. If you force all the people out, it'll only be run by bureaucrats. So in my mind, I think that the term limits are every 2 years or 6 years or 4 years.
Based on the vote.
I mean, if we don't like them, we vote them out.
You know, the other thing about
term limits are called elections.
That's right.
You can get rid of them. The other thing that people have to consider, having been a staff person, and it was appalling to me when I worked for George Allen, I would go talk to these people who'd worked in the Senate for 40 years, and they didn't flip their middle finger at me physically. But they sure basically, they told me where to go. They were not interested in input from the senator or the senator's staff. It was like, we're going to be here after you're long gone. And you know what? Some of them are probably still working there. And look at me. I've been gone 20 years. They're probably still there. That's a problem when the staff, the bureaucracy, is running Washington. All right, it's 5:43. We're going to take a quick break. We've got lots of topics that we're going to cover on stage today, which I'll tell you about tomorrow on the morning show. And I'm waiting to see Jeff Katz roll in here. He should be here any minute. Howard Gutman, I still haven't laid eyes on Howard. I'm not sure Howard's coming. We might have scared him off this morning. We'll fill you in as we continue our Politics and Pints Election Edition Tailgate Show brought to you by James River Air. I'm John Reed, News Radio, WRVA.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun, in the sun.
Another AI song. This must be the Joe Biden version if he's talking about that weird story he told about when he was a lifeguard and he had hairy legs and it was creepy. It was, you know, you want to share a few personal stories of your politician, but you got to be careful
that
you don't say something.
That turned
well, that corn pop, he's a bad dude.
God, it's just, to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
So it was straight.
And then watch the hair come back up again.
And this real Joe Biden saying this. You know, you don't have to do AI to make him look bad. He does it on his own.
Come on, man.
5:51 here on this Wednesday. I'm John Reed, filling in for Jeff Katz, who should be here at the Beacon Theater any minute now. This is the Politics and Pints Election Edition pre-show brought to you by James River Air. And in just a little while, of course, we'll be off the air at 6, and then we go into the VIP room where Dana Lash, Brian Kilmeade, I'm assuming Jeff Katz will be here by then, and I have not laid eyes on Howard Gutman. I've been saying I feel like maybe we scared Howard this morning because it was – I mean, I'm so nice. I felt bad that it was such a contentious interview this morning. So hopefully Howard will be okay. And if you're coming to the Beacon Theater, please do not – oh, here's Howard.
Oh, it's alive.
Hey. Oh, where have you been?
Made it.
Did you just arrive?
I was playing. I was working the crowd a little bit. They were great reception for the Democrat, and then I was looking for you.
Where?
Oh, they're always nice to me. They're great. They said, look – who's your favorite? No, I just said, there will be no Democrats tonight, and they cheered.
How did you feel about this morning? I felt a little bad, because it was contentious, Howard.
It was contentious between friends. And so, at the end, you just, because that's what we have to do as a nation, someone's going to win this election, and the next day, we can't have violence. So the country's going to have to get there. Now, we have it easy. We're friends. The country's got to be friends.
Okay. Well, that's a good way for us to head into Politics and Pints tonight. Of course, I stood up for you a little bit as much as I can because I think it is unfair that it's going to be Jeff and me, and you know us, but then Kilmeade. And Dana Lash is the one you got to watch out for because she doesn't care whether she's nice. She's going to let you have it. Are you worried about her? Did you meet her backstage already?
I just met her. She's lovely. But we have a mutual friend who she doesn't know, and I asked what she's like because I didn't know. And the mutual friend said she's sort of sassy, gun-toting NRA type, and kind of good-looking. And I said, oh, you mean Kamala Harris?
Oh, my God. Here we go. Did you tell her that? Because she's...
I will tonight.
She's going to bring, comparing her to Kamala Harris, she'll take that as a, well.
Now, John, I did offer to tag team with Howard, to play devil's advocate just for tonight.
You
just
wouldn't be able to
no,
help.
He said, my job's easier than these other guys.
Producer Dan, you cannot help, you know. So, hey, we're excited about you coming to the Beacon Theater. If you've got tickets, now it is out, so if you don't have tickets, you're just going to have to wait for the next one. But we've got a full house and a lot of people. I mean, a huge line outside of folks who are waiting for the doors to open so they can get in the theater. The front row people, we're excited that you're here. Thank you for being here. Hugh Joyce from James River Air has been with us throughout the last 2 hours, kind of talking about politics. And in a very diplomatic, you are very diplomatic in the way you carry yourself.
Well, I try to be. I think it's better for America when people are diplomatic and respectful and you have disagreements, but talk about them and try to learn from them. So,
is there room for bipartisanship now? Because it sounded, my friends in D.C. say that you used to go and have drinks or have dinner with people of the other party, but now the second you do that, it's on the internet, and then you get labeled and bashed, so no one talks to each other anymore.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a shame. I think that bipartisanship should be alive and well, and it is a problem. I think that we need to talk, and you certainly need to talk to people that are different than you so that you can, you know, expand your thought process. So whereas some may say it is a problem, I purposely try to talk to people that mm-hmm. are different than me and maybe have different political persuasions than me. And I certainly think our leaders should be doing that as well.
Yeah. Are you making any predictions about this election?
Oh, well, here's what I'm going to predict. This election is a dead heat, and
nationally, or when you look at the swing states,
I think when you look at the swing states and when you look at the electoral college vote, mm-hmm. you've got something that is very tight. There's a couple, but when we look at these states and how they swing, you know, it's a very small number of votes that are swinging this election. So mm-hmm. I'm going to predict it's going to be very thrilling.
yes,
and I just hardly wait.
It's going to be thrilling. I wonder if there's going to be an October surprise. Howard, do you think? I feel like there's something weird that happens every couple of days. And some of it's unplanned, like the natural disasters. Who could have? Well, if you talk to some people, they think the weather is controlled. I don't buy into that. I don't think anybody would deliberately harm that many people. But I don't. But Yeah, I'm not going to advocate for that. But what do you expect over the last 3 weeks?
So I already have a view as to what I expect happening in the election, but I always caveat with who could have seen anything that's occurred. So anything could occur. And without being facetious, I do think you might see anything out of Trump these days, and it could right? So that
Trump.
I know you got to wrap up on the bipartisanship. I believe, win or lose, as soon as Trump is gone and the party goes back to the Nikki Haley's and even the Marco Rubio's, people got together in Washington for decades, and they will again.
All right. Well, Howard Gutman will be on stage. Jeff Katz is about to join me. We'll have Brian Kilmeade and Dana Loesch. That's the Jeff Katz Show, the pre-show edition of Politics and Pints presented by James River Air. I'm John Reed. Talk to you in the morning on News Radio WRVA.
Thanks, producer Germ.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.